What's up, everybody? It's Soren Baker, and on this episode of Unique Access with Soren Baker, I interview Solo. Now, you might know him as Franklin from Grand Theft Auto 5. You might know him from his work with Cam and others back in the day, working with Ice Cube. But man, Solo's got so much in his life and in his career that's pretty amazing. And that's why I wanted to talk to him for Unique Access with Soren Baker. So without further ado, here we are. Solo, Unique Access with Soren Baker.
What's up, everybody? It's Soren Baker here on Unique Access, and today we're joined by Solo, aka Franklin, if you guys are into that Grand Theft Auto thing. Thank you for coming through, sir.
Shit, you already know what it is, fam. You call, I come.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, man. So obviously we're gonna talk about Grand Theft Auto and Franklin, but I want to make sure that people understand your legacy in the game.
Yeah.
Being an artist, all your affiliations coming up, and being in movies, all this stuff. So, for you getting into the game, I was first really introduced to you through the Cube and the Cam affiliations that. But like, how did you, get to where you were making records with them and getting to know them personally first?
Well, Cam is like family. We're not blood cousins, but you know how it is when you're kids, man.
Right.
You grow up with somebody that's your cousin or that's your brother. So, he's like family, mm-hmm. So we had a clique called What's Up Crew, man. It was a few of us, and we was putting it down. We had some heavy hitters as far as the pocket-wise that was behind us, And I used to always be like, man, Cam is hard, man. He was from Compton, out of Carver Parkhood, and I'm from Watts, And we used to link up and hang out, and he used to be spitting, so I used to always be like, man, I got to get this dude on. So one day, man, I used to run into Ice Cube. He had a Suzuki Jeep, and I had one. He had a gray one back in the days. He had Jerry Curl and everything, and I ran into him, and I was like, oh, shit, that's dude from NWA. What's happening, homie? And he came off so cool that we ended up getting so cool that I was on his porch with him at his mama house over there off of, I think it was Thoreau or something like that, in 111 neighborhood.
Oh, Van Wyck, maybe?
Nah, it wasn't. It could have been Van Wyck. Yeah, it was Van Wyck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I knew some of the 111s, JD was a real 111, man. Mm-hmm. Man, free my dude JD, man. Yeah. JD was a real 111. You got Donuts, you got Ants, you got Baby Mondo KK, I knew them dudes right there. So Q wasn't active in the hood like that, but he was from over there and he knew everybody. So I used to always be telling him, man, I got this dude named Cam, man. Like my cousin, he fire, man. You gotta hear him, man. And he was like, I will, Solo, I will. So I kept being persistent with him, sitting on his front porch, man. I used to be having my son when he was a baby, Cube, used to be playing with him. We used to just be chopping it up. He used to be spitting stuff to me. Then one day he just came and said, man, I'm finna leave NWA, start my own thing, man. I'm gonna put Cam on, man. So after that, he put Cam on. He stuck to his word. He started Street Knowledge over here off of Victoria, right off of Florence and stuff up in a little industrial area. So, I used to go up there with him and stuff, and he used to be like, man, I got this deal through East West. I'm going to put Cam on. So he did what he said. He kept his word with me, and he put Cam on. Now, at that time, I thought he was putting us on. He was finna give me a contract, too. So I remember walking in there, and I was like, man, where my contract at, nigga? I was gang banging and in the streets real tough at that time, man. I was getting my money, and I was with whatever anybody wanted to be with, man. I was a knucklehead. But he was like, Solo, don't go like that. They want to sign Cam. I was like, well, I'm going to be his DJ. I ain't no shit about DJing. But one thing I can say on that note, man, Cube had told me, man, Solo, this is what you do, bro. You're going to be down with him. Don't worry about that. We're going to be good, bro. You going to do. Get you a SP-1200, some turntables, and get you this they was making beats on it back then. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of it, the Akai.
The MPC.
He was saying, go get you one, bro. I'm telling you, start doing beats. This was way back then. If I would have listened to this dude, I'd probably be a battle cat or somebody by now, because I knew music real good, because I used to be doing it when I was a kid. Who didn't? With Run DMC, scratching on turntables at your house with no mixer or no nothing. So he put Cam on and did everything, man, he's supposed to do, man. And then that's when I met DJ Pooh. I used to hear about DJ Pooh all the time, man. And
well, for you too, like being around him when he said he was leaving NWA and then for him to actually leave NWA, what was that like for you to kind of see, and that's now your friend, like what was that experience like?
Well, for him to leave NWA, it was like I felt like I had an opportunity now, because he pulled away from Easy and them. And now he's by himself. You know what I'm saying? He was starting the lynch mob. T-Bone, you know.
Right. JD.
JD. Shorty, man. Get well, Shorty, man. I hope you do good, man. I heard, you know, Shorty right. going through a situation and stuff. You know, so I felt like I can cling on and get something out of it. So I wasn't begging for nothing. I just wanted to, like every drug dealer or anybody in the streets doing anything, they want to take that and move into the business.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Sports players want to be rappers. So I was just doing, playing my part, how it was going, you know what I mean? So he ended up sticking to his word, and Cube was like having me come around. They was doing, what's that stuff with D. Barnes was hosting back then?
Oh, Pump It Up.
Pump It Up. I used to be at, they did it all at his mama house right there. You know, he was a mama's boy. He's lived right there for a long time. And then he put us on, bro, got us in the studio. And then I can never forget this, bro. I wanted to say this, man. That's when I met DJ Pooh, bro.
Okay.
DJ Pooh used to smoke a lot of weed. I never smoked weed. I never drink, never smoked cigarettes. You know, I was like a just retarded in my brain.
Just like me.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just with all the madness, just natural. I didn't have to be high, nothing to want to go here or go here. So DJ Pooh kept smoking weed. And I was like, man, you fucking weed head, man. Quit smoking all that weed up in the studio. Now, Pooh was a skinny dude, man. You know
and
what I'm
tall.
Saying?
And yeah, tall, for yeah. those that don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, about 6'4", 6'5". He called me outside, bro. And now you got to remember, I was a solid dude at that time.
Right.
Called me outside by himself, and he was like, hey, man, look, I smoke my weed, bro. You know, I ain't trying to do nothing to bother you, but if you got a problem with it, we can get it on right now, homie. And I promise you, bro, anybody else would have did that in any kind of other way, we would have got to wherever you want to go. But I had to just look at this dude, man, and come from my heart how he hit me with it, and he was sincere with it. I was like, man, you know what? I apologize, bro. I was wrong. You was right, bro. I shouldn't have called you out your name like that in front of everybody to try to take your manhood, like trying to punk you. And he was like, man, I'm from Watergate Crip, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, what the fuck is Watergate Crip? You know, I'm an East Side dude from out of Watts. I never knew the sets on the other side of Vermont, but 111. That's all I knew.
Okay.
You know, so that's how me and DJ Pooh got so tight. And after that, man, we got to be the best of friends. And I'm here today, man, and my whole career is based off of what DJ Pooh did for me, dog.
Yeah, because, you know, you've been in a lot of his films. Like, one of his less appreciated, but one I always really like was Three Strikes,
yeah,
man. I thought that was good. Plus, it had a lot of the social commentary of what was going on in the law.
Yeah,
so, you know, it was right on time. And I thought it was well done. It had a lot of really funny moments that balanced out the seriousness of what was going on. Similar to Friday. I don't think it was as funny as Friday, of course, but it definitely had a heavier subject matter as to, like, the back storyline. So for you, as you got to know and be around Pooh, like, what did you notice about him that made him different on the production and then also as a storyteller?
Well, Pooh was always like he had these, I don't want to say goofy, like all his tracks got this banging, but it got a comical beat to it. Okay. I don't know how I'm trying to say it, but everything he do,
he's not to, only hard.
Yeah, he try to add the comic to it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, he did a lot of that with King T, you know.
He did it with King T.
Coming out with King T, they had, you know, obviously they had a lot of stuff about drinking and smoking, but it was, you know, that added a little balance to what King T was doing. And
Pooh
obviously produced the majority of that early stuff, so.
Yeah, Pooh a legend, man. I remember sitting on the plane next to Cube, man. We was going to London or coming. I think we were going.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on tour. It was me and Cam, Cube, and the Lynch Mob, and we were going to London. This was back in 1990, bro. And me and Q was sitting side by side to each other, and I remember him showing me stuff that Pooh was writing for the movie Friday.
Mm.
Pooh was actually like writing the Chris Tucker role, like as his role.
Oh, okay.
I think if I'm not mistaken, Pooh was gonna try to play Chris Tucker role, you know, the comical role like that. But I remember doing that with Q, man, and that's to let people know how far me and Q go back, man. You know, people took a lot of what happened with us, you know, like it was something like
random or something.
Random, bro, but I've been knowing that guy for a long time, bro.
Well, as far as the, you know, your beef and situation with Q, you know, now looking back on it, how do you think you learned from it? How did you repair your guys' relationship? How did you kind of like move past it?
Well, it's nothing I learned from it.
Okay.
I mean, because it's just hood shit that happened. You know, people that's not hood and not in the streets like I was at that time, bro, took it like, oh shit, you just beat the Don Mecca up. You just robbed the Don Mecca. You just did this to the Don Mecca. Because people look at Cube as, you know, he's the gangster.
Right.
Like, you better watch out. No, he better watch out. That's how it was at that time, bro. Right, you know what I mean? And when that happened, when that incident happened with me and Cube, it was nothing to me. That's just, it fell into what you do as being in the streets at that time. That's just me. If me and you get into a fucking fight and we scrapping, bro, and something on you I need, that's just how it was going, bro.
Right.
You know, that's what happens. You know, you still see that to this day. Fight, jump off, dude, get off the bottom of the pile. Where my watch at? Where my necklace at? That's just how stuff was, bro.
Right.
So, you know, people took it crazy and stuff, but me and Q, we kind of hammered that down. You know, Mac-10 intervened in the middle of it and tried to squash it because I was just going everywhere with the chain on and was daring anybody to do anything. You know, it's a lot of stuff that people don't know that when, you know, I went to his neighborhood and told everybody in his neighborhood, bro, this is a true story, man, he can have his chain back. And I used to wear it all the time and didn't worry about nobody taking it from me. And I was like, he can have his chain back, bro, as long as he come back and fight me again.
Mm-hmm.
But Q just was like, nah, man, we gonna let that,
let that ride,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So Mac-10 orchestrated the deal. I give Mac-10 a chain. Mac-10 tell me he gonna get me all this stuff, he gonna give me this. And it took too long to where I start pressing Mac-10, like, well, you better get my fucking chain back.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, man, Solo, that it wasn't yours from the jump, bro. Get my chain back or give me yours. It's gonna happen one way or the other. I'm gonna get my W back, bro. So I end up getting paid. Mac-10 ended up taking care of me, making sure shit was straight. Then me and Cube ended up sitting down, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man to man, sitting down. He was filming the Jamie Foxx show and Players Club at the time, and he had these black eyes because I didn't know I did him that bad because I spazzed out.
Mm-hmm.
And he had these big black glasses on. And I can remember us sitting in Jerry's Deli and he was just shaking the whole table while he was sitting there with me. And I was like, dude, calm down, man. I know you, bro.
Right.
We ain't got to go through all this, man. Let's just figure some things out. So he was inviting me to Laker game. He just wanted to make it a bond even tighter.
Mm-hmm.
But my loyalty to Cam was worth more than signing and make more money. Now, should I have thought about, you know, things back then? Because Q was laying it. When I tell you he was laying it out for me, bro, he was laying it out, calling me to come to studios, Larrabee Studios. Man, Solo, I'm going to make you this. I'm going to make you in charge of that. And I was like, nah, take care of Cam, man. But I didn't know all the while I was saying take care of Cam because certain things that Cam was doing financially wise, I didn't understand, you know. They was beefing over taxes.
Right, right.
Taxes getting paid. I didn't have no knowledge of that. I just thought the man owed the man some bread.
Mm-hmm.
So this my dude, bro. Give him his money.
Right, right.
Or are we going to keep this process going? It's going to keep, we're going to keep getting pressed.
Mm.
So we end up squashing it, though, man. And I ran into him, man, and at Crazy Tune, rest in peace, man, his funeral.
Right.
And me and Cube hugged. We talked, man. And he was like, you know, you can feel the sincereness. Because Kibo always kept us in touch with each other. I don't know if you know Big Kibo, man. That's my dude right there, man, you know. So Kibo came home, and I thought it was going to be a problem because he was looking for me.
Okay.
He wanted to know who is Solo. I need to holler at this dude.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finally seen this big old buff Hulk Hogan, Hulk dude come looking for me, and I get out the car, and he right there, but he was cool. Man, I just want to tell you, homie, you know what I'm saying? We don't got no problem.
Right.
You know, Q hiring us and blah, blah, blah. Just want to thank you that you kept it real, and that was it.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, taking it back full circle with Pooh, as you guys developed your relationship and started working more and more together, like, obviously Melee was with Grand Theft Auto first, and then you got involved. So when you were getting those first calls and the first meetings and stuff about doing Grand Theft Auto, what was kind of like your reaction? Like, what did you think? Like,
I didn't want to do it.
We'll break it down.
Because it wasn't Grand Theft Auto. See, it's Rockstar work in tricky ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did some work with them. Pooh called me in to work with them on San Andreas.
Right.
Melee was the star. Melee is my little cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did some gang voices like a lot of us did on there, you know what I'm saying? And then when they were getting ready to do Grand Theft Auto 5, I think I was out riding my Harley Davidson, man, and Pooh kept hitting my phone, and I pulled over, what up, dog? And he was like, man, come up here to Hollywood, man. I want you to come read for this, try to be in this video game. Man, I don't want to be in no fucking video game. Now, if they would have said Grand Theft Auto, I would have probably shit hard ass over there.
You'd have turned around.
But they told me another name. They told me Paradise, a video game called Paradise. And I'm trying to read for a character called Deshaun. So I was like, eh, you know, I ain't take it serious. I went there and they hand me the script and it was set up just like this type of environment. And it was a guy reading the script from standing over here and he was reading his lines, but I had to read my lines to interact with him, right? I read over what I was supposed to have said and I was like, man, I don't need that. So he shot his lines to me and I shot some whole different shit back at him. And they was like, everybody was just standing and it was like, oh, all right, Solo, you know, appreciate you, bro. I had no idea they was going to call me back.
Right.
They called me back, and they called me back again. Next thing you know, the second time I came back, I ran into Slink. So Slink was trying out.
Slink Johnson?
Yeah. What up? Weird-ass, crazy, tall, janky motherfucker. Nah, that's my dude, man. But
Slink is the man.
Yeah, man, crazy as hell. But he started reading, and he was reading with other people. Problem was there, you know, some gang bangers. It was Jackie Long, you know. It was a few actors came through, known actors. So I was like, man, they finna get these dudes, man. These dudes act. These dudes are big rappers. I'm back in the streets. So when I got caught again and caught again, I remember me and Slink end up being, you know, they was narrowing it down. And we was the last two left running lines with each other.
Okay.
So I was like, me and him was running. I never forget we was walking out. And he said, man, we gonna claim this. And I looking at him, I said, you wanna ride to your car, man? And he was like, nah, I'm cool. I parked way over here. Now I'm thinking he ain't had no car because Slink was just like a big, tall, lanky dude with some dirty jeans on. He didn't care with a tank top on. It's raining outside. I was like, you need a ride, bro? He was like, nah, I'm cool. But he had a car. He just parked it away. Mm-hmm. And me and him, a few weeks later, we ended up at the airport together. Like, damn, dude, we really got this role. So we ended up in New York. It was blizzard, storming out there. It was cold. And history was jumped off from there, man. And then after I found out it was Grand Theft Auto, it was like a year later.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, man, look, y'all got to renegotiate this motherfucking contract now, bro. Now, for real. So
because it was Grand Theft Auto, not Paradise.
Come on, bro. I think I did a hell of a job, man, playing this guy Franklin, man, because Franklin was like me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though they wrote the script, but I twisted it up a lot. These is British dudes, man. Right. You can't write for me. You can only get the knowledge from DJ Pooh, which was feeding y'all this street stuff. But then they write it and give it to us and expect me to say mate and lad and motherfucker. No, I'll say motherfucker.
Right.
I'm going to show y'all how to straighten. Look at how Slink went. Slink went and got the game and went crazy.
Yeah. Both of y'all, man. Both y'all.
Yeah, but Slink was able to open up a little more because he was a non-playable character. Mm. I'm a playable character, so they want to keep the Franklin guy like, no, no, you can't act tough. We want you to be like soft.
Gotcha.
So people always be like, man, why Franklin not hard like Slink? But they wanted, it was a reason why. Don't get me wrong, Rockstar is smart. They sharp with the technical work and all the shit, man. And I thank them for hiring us, but I think they could do better, man. They can do a lot better with their actors, man. For real, bro. Mm.
And then how, with this reality, how do you find, like, interacting with the other characters as people or with DJ Pooh? Like, how does that effect? Do you guys talk about that? Do you not talk about it?
Yeah, like, me and Pooh always talk about it and stuff. And Pooh like the advocate in it. Pooh always like Solo, just, you know, it's cool, man. Chill out, man. You know, Pooh's like always been the guy that can call me and calm me down when I'm tripping. Okay. Always, man. Rockstar called him, man. Solo over here tripping. He talking about getting on a first class flight coming out here to New York and hit the owners in their face and sock them in their eye. Pooh hit me on the phone. Hey, Solo, man, come on, man, dog. It ain't even that serious, relax. And I listen to my dude because, you know, he helped me out a lot, man. I wouldn't be where I'm at in the entertainment business without Pooh.
Right.
Movies, music, anything entertainment-wise, video games, bro. You gotta remember, bro, I did, my face, my voice, my likeness is on something that's bigger than almost anything in entertainment. And I ain't just saying this because I'm on it. Google it.
Billions of dollars.
Billions and billions. So you got to remember, it sold hundreds of millions of copies. So I'm in hundreds of millions of people's homes.
Right.
And what make me so different in the game is, it's a lot of white kids, Spanish kids, Asian kids, wherever, all around the world, get to live through the hood through me. Mm-hmm. They finally get to say, I'm in the hood.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's I got my personal stuff that me and Rockstar are going to come back to the table with because they owe, and I'm going to get it. Trust me, bro. You're going to be hearing about it. I'm going to get it. But, man, DJ Pooh, man, I owe you everything as far as the entertainment business, man. You know I love you, dog. He looks out for me, bro. He come up with anything, he look out for me. If anything Pooh do, it's like Spike Lee always calling his same actors from The Wash, Three Strikes, Grow House, Music. Me and Cam did the song Whoop Whoop.
Right.
Pooh put that out.
Yeah.
He put that out on a major platform for us, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was on Atlantic Records at the time.
Yeah, bro, you gotta remember, man.
That's huge.
That's something that I did, that Cam took, wrote it. The genius that his big head ass is. Cam is a genius, man.
Absolutely.
He's one of the best writers, the best strikers, man. He wrote anything you hear me rapping about, Cam wrote it. Mm. I don't have a problem with saying he wrote it because I ain't never claimed to be a rapper.
Right, right.
It's just something I wanted to do. You know what I mean? Where I come from, you name it, bro. Anything you heard me rapping about, Cam did it, bro. Hmm. He wrote it.
Well, speaking on music and different things, like what else you have coming up?
Music-wise, nothing.
Okay.
I tapped out. Mm-hmm. I ain't even trying to pursuing it.
Because I remember when we did Open Bar Radio, you were always kind of hinting that if the right thing came along, you were going to get back in.
Yeah,
I noticed you hadn't, but that's why I'm asking.
But I'm knocking on the door of 50 right now, bro. I'm not ashamed to say my age. I think I look good to be damn near 50, bro.
Right.
I got grandkids, got a wife. Been married for a while, man. I'm a family man. You know how it is, man. You seen my tilde and see how I'm living, bro. You know, I'm a family man. So it's a whole new, you know, genre of music right now. So it's best for me to just, like Cam, you know, Cam, honestly, that's my dude, man. He need to just go on and just step back, man. Don't let it go. Stay the pioneer that you is, because he's one of the pioneers of West Coast.
Well, the Mutual Respect album he put out a couple years ago was pretty...
Yeah,
pretty thorough.
But they keep him under the radar, man. You know they ain't gonna let my dude get above the radar.
Right.
That's
true.
They gonna keep you under the radar because Cam spit that knowledge that'll wake people up.
Right.
And that ain't what they want sometimes, man. They don't want that. They wanna hear you talking about shooting a motherfucker in the head or sticking your finger in a girl ass or throwing money or buying Louis or buying Rolls Royces. Cam ain't gonna never spit that.
Right,
and
right.
If he do spit it, it's going to be subliminal. It's going to be like sarcastic in there.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And Cube, that got like that at one time, man. Man, I got a history, man. I'll tell you, we could pull up one segment, man, of just me talking about me and Cube, man. I got so much shit, man.
No, I know.
Me and that boy got some videotapes when us on tour, man. When Lil Cube that just played it, him in the movie N.W.A. was this big, sitting on my lap, boy, Lil Baby. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
O'Shea Jr.
Yeah, I got videos of that. Cube would want this stuff, man. I got videos, man. I got a whole tour of videos of all of us, bro. I constantly film for 30 days, every day and out, all through Europe. Mm. So, you know, man, like I said again, man, getting back to DJ Pooh, man, I owe him. I owe that dude, man. I can.
So what are you guys working on now? What's next?
Man, you know, Pooh always got something in the lab. In the lab, in the oven, man, and he always telling me, you know, Pooh the type that I have something major going on and it's about to go down in like 3 hours from now and he'll hit me in 20 minutes. Where you at?
And I need you to roll through.
And I'm gonna pull up. If he need me, he hit me in 20 minutes, I'll be there in 25 minutes. That's just the relationship we got.
Right. Well, there it is, y'all. That's Solo. Thank you for coming through again, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm Soren Baker here on Unique Access, Solo in the building, Franklin.
Soren, my dog, man.
Yes, yes.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in to Unique Access with Soren Baker. I appreciate your guys' support. Please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and however you guys checked out this episode of Unique Access with Soren Baker. Also, if you haven't already, please pick up the copies of my two most recent books, The History of Gangsta Rap and The Gucci Man Guide to Greatness with Gucci Man. You can find both of those books on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, at the independent bookstore near you, and of course, you could also check them out at your library. And if any of those places don't have them, please request them. And most importantly, thank you so much for listening to Unique Access with Soren Baker, however you listen to us. And please subscribe so we get into your feed. Hit us with that like and hit us with the 5 stars, 10 stars, 100 stars, whatever's the highest they got on this platform. But we appreciate your guys' support and look forward to you checking us out on the next episode.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.